Evangelism is a campaign for winning souls for the spiritual kingdom of God. St. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verses 14-15. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Evangelism is an open attack on the evil spirit of the world. That is why the spirit-filled evangelist must take every precaution and direction by the Spirit of God, because the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ contend to destroy each spirit-filled evangelist. Jesus said, St. Matthew 12:13-14, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out, and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Those evil Pharisees were devils. They called a council to destroy Jesus for doing good works, and healing on the Sabbath day, a day of rest and deliverance for those who were physically and spiritually sick and afflicted. St. John 5:8-11, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk." The Spirit of God reveals to the evangelists where they should go, what they should do when they arrive, and when their sojourn should terminate. In order to be an effective evangelist for Jesus, the first requirement is salvation. Second, we must have a burden for souls. Third, we should prepare ourselves spiritually for the task that lies ahead of us. That preparation comes forth by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is the means whereby evangelism is a success. The obedience of the evangelists to the direct divine guidance of the Spirit of Christ is a significant part. It is definitely a fact that our obedience to Jesus Christ will result in a campaign for soul winning. Jesus said, St. Matthew 13:3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Jesus compared the evangelist to a farmer going forth to sow grain in the earth. Verse 4, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside." The seed is the word of God, and an analogy of the people of God. Jesus articulated, St. Luke 8:11, "The seed is the word of God." Although the evangelist preaches the word, however, those who do not repent will not get any benefit, because their hearts are not completely receptive to the word of God. Jesus emphasized, St. Matthew 13:19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." According to that verse, it is essential for the evangelist to give people understanding out of the word of God. The enemy seeks for an opportunity to steal the word that comes forth from the evangelist. Whether the people are receptive or not to the word of God, we should make sure that they understand. The devil thrives on ignorance. That is why wisdom, on the part of the evangelist, is essential. It enables the preacher to impart understanding to those who hear the word of God. In the final judgment, anointed ministers will be free from the blood of unbelievers who died in their sins, because they heard the word of God, and did not repent and obey. This is the second kind of heart in which the word of God fell upon, verses 5-6, "Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Jesus gives us spiritual light on that second heart. They heard the word and were not fully repentant, because the word fell upon stony places. Stony places are hard hearts. Although they responded partially to the word, they sprung up, but because they had no depth, the sun scorched them, and they withered away. That is the reality of many so-called Christians today. The sun is an analogy of the Lord. The words of Jesus are as the sun in its strength against sinful desires. Psalm 84:11, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. When the minister preaches the truth, many will wither away. Only those who have depth will stand the sun, which is the heat and trials of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, the evangelist should sow the word of God whether it falls upon stony hearts or falls by the wayside. Jesus continues, St. Matthew 13:20-21, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." The only means of having spiritual depth in Christ is to be fully committed. The joy of receiving the word is not sufficient to make us stand in the face of tremendous suffering and opposition for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repentant children of God will endure the sufferings that take away our joy. We will have grief in many trials. Our joy will return after we endure the languishing. Psalm 30:5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." That is why Jesus pointed out that those who receive the word in a stony heart will not endure the suffering, for they lack depth, which is the spiritual root. God gives spiritual strength only to the obedient believers. Jesus declared to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Jesus declared, St. Matthew 13:7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and choked them." Verse 22, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Those who received the word of God among thorns are not sincerely interested in the spiritual blessings of God. The deceitfulness of riches of the world hinders spiritual growth. The devil deceived those who believe that only wealth can make them happy. Thorns are a symbol of sin. The word that fell among thorns certainly will never become spiritually productive, because the sin of greed for material wealth, and the lust of the flesh, chokes out the word. King Solomon proclaimed, Proverbs 13:11, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished." Paul was emphatic, 1 Timothy 6:7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." The New Testament Hebrew writer emphasized, Hebrews 6:8, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." People with that attitude are fruitless concerning the kingdom of God. The evangelist must continue to preach the word regardless to the prevailing unbelief of those who hear the word of God. However, Jesus expounded to us that those who were sincere, with an honest heart of repentance, received the word and brought forth fruits of the Spirit in their lives to perfection. St. Matthew 13:8, "But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. There is no doubt that the hearts, in which Jesus called the good ground, are those who received his words, and completely relinquished their sins, and repented. Verse 23, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." Those believers, to whom Jesus gave his word, obeyed him. They brought forth fruits of the Spirit of God unto perfection. We recognize that those who are honest in heart will receive understanding, and only those who have thoroughly repented understand what the will of the Lord is for them. Paul wrote about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." He emphasized that divine love is the highest level of love. The laws of humanity cannot limit the fruits of the Spirit. All homosexuals are striving to change divine laws to accomplish their lust of the flesh. God is against all systems of human laws that change his holy way of a man marrying a woman. Paul proclaimed to the Roman Christians, Romans 1:26, For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Jesus proclaimed to his disciples, St. John 4:35, Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus is currently speaking his words to those evangelists who have his Holy Spirit. The dedicated evangelist can discern spiritual harvest time because of the leadership of the Spirit of God. Paul encouraged Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:5, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The field is an analogy of sinners of the world. When the fields are white, the Lord is in the process of saving souls. He desires for us to continue to be instrumental in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world for the salvation of humanity. Jesus said, St. Matthew 13:38, The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verses 40-42, The tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. St. John 4:36, And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sow it and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The sower is the evangelist, and the reapers are the angels of God. The Hebrew writer emphasized the ministry of the angel of deliverance. Hebrews 1:14, Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? In the Old Testament, the psalmist was clear about God appointing angels and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to deliver souls from the destruction of hell. Psalm 104:4, Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. There are angels that God has created to deliver souls who have no physical bodies. There are also angels whom God has placed over humanity for the salvation of souls. There are human angels whom God gave authority to be pastors of churches. In the book of Revelation, Jesus revealed to John that the angel of the church in Philadelphia was the only pastor who was without rebuke in Asia Minor. Revelation 3:7-8, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. God gave him the key of David. His trials never defeated him. The key of David was not a literal key, but a metaphor of the power God gave to David to defeat his enemies in warfare. God declared that he anointed David, Psalm 89:19-24. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verses 34-35, My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. The Lord made a covenant with David because he chose and anointed him to fight for his people. Psalm 78:70-72, He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheep folds, from following the ewes great with young he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. As the Lord gave David power to defeat his enemies, he also likewise gave the same authority and power to the pastor of the Church of Philadelphia to whom he called the angel of the church. Let us observe the miraculous power of God as he delivers souls through the ministry of the archangel, Michael. Michael and his angels defeated the devil and his angels. John articulated, Revelation 20:1-2, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. According to those scriptures, when we repent, the Lord commissions his most powerful angel of deliverance to deliver us from the power of evil forces, which comes from the devil's family. These are the forces of evil, which possess and control unbelievers, the devil, Satan, dragon, serpent, the beast, false prophet, and scorpion. They are the forces of evil that entice unbelievers to continue to commit sin and warfare against the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because the devil and his family do not know that they are devils. They think they are the people of God, because the devil deceived them. Verse 10, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That will be the consummation of the devil's reign on earth. John saw and prophesied the end of the devil's reign on earth. Jesus doomed the devil, and his power will cast him into the lake of fire with his family and followers. The earth will become a literal fire, which shall be the lake of fire. That will be the end of this world. According to the word of God, 1,000 years are as a day. 2 Peter 3:8, But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We should not limit the word of God thinking only of a literal 1,000 years. Spiritually, 1,000 years can be the day in which the Lord completely delivers us from all evil forces. It is a state of being exuberant under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Michael and his angels continue to defeat the evil spirit of the devil by casting him out of the bodies of humanity, thereby, bringing deliverance to those who repent. God established his spiritual kingdom in the hearts of regenerated believers. He destroyed the evil spirit of the devil in their hearts. John declared, Revelation 12:7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan. Michael was the chief holy angel of God sent to deliver souls from the powers of evil forces. There are evil forces, which defeat evil people by deception. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 78:49, He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. Both the evangelist and the angels of the Lord are workers together with God. He uses his holy angels to subdue the devil because it is a spirit, and so are God's holy angels. He sent evil angels to control and prevail against the devil's evil family who do not believe and obey God's messengers in all eras. Our deliverance comes forth by the ministry of the minister and God's holy angels. God commissioned his chief holy angel, Michael, to receive the soul of Moses. The book of Jude 1:9, Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. The devil was not disputing with Michael about the natural body of Moses, it was the spiritual body, which is the soul of Moses. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:44, There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. At that particular time, the devil did not fight with Michael, he only disputed with him, because the devil knew that Moses disobeyed God when he hit the rock. Numbers 20:7-12, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou, and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. The devil seized that occasion in a final attempt to destroy the soul of Moses. When Moses hit the rock, in his spirit he hit Christ. Paul was emphatic, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Moses prayed and repented on Mount Nebo prior his death. Aaron likewise repented prior his death, on Mount Hor, for smiting the rock. Deuteronomy 32:48-49, And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain Abarim, unto Mount Nebo. Verse 50, And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor. Verse 51, Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel, ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 34:7, And Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. Moses was not ill when he deceased. God justified Moses when he sent his chief holy angel, Michael the archangel, to receive the soul of his servant. Wherefore God forgave and preserved Moses, and Aaron's souls for eternal life. 1 Peter 4:17-18, For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Moses and Aaron were among those whom God scarcely saved. They lived a holy life for 40 years in the wilderness. They narrowly escaped the destruction of hell when they disobeyed God and hit the rock, which was a symbol of Jesus Christ. Isaiah warned God's people not to fight against him. Isaiah 45:9, Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. The New Testament Hebrew writer proclaimed that the chief angel, Michael, was a ministering spirit without a physical body, and an angel of deliverance. Hebrews 1:14, Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That scripture differentiates ministering spirits, which have no physical bodies, from angels who were ministers of the gospel and pastors of churches. Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, which currently is Turkey. John sent messages to the pastors of the churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They were angels according to the book of Revelation. Obviously, God protects us by an innumerable company of holy angels. Therefore, we should finish the work, which the Lord has given to us. Jesus said the power of life, death, hell, and destruction is under his authority from God who is the Father. He gave his life for those whom he saved from sin. St. John 10:18, No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus proclaimed to John, Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus encouraged his disciples when they were in his ministry on earth. St. Luke 12:4-5. I say unto you my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear, fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell, yea, I say unto you, fear him. Evil people, whom the devil and Satan's evil spirits possess, cannot kill humanity without permission from God. Job 2:6, And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. At that time, God did not permit Satan to kill Job with sickness. Above all, let us serve the Lord with reverence and godly fear. Psalm 126:5, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ, sometimes labor in tears. Ultimately, we will receive joy and victory from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.